Amen. Old Jack's singing louder than our teenagers. Hallelujah. Amen. That's good. Praise the Lord. Good job, Jack. I can't wait to get you in the choir, buddy. That's going to be a blessing. And it's good to see everybody tonight. And I hope everybody's had a good week. And praise the Lord. Lord's been answering prayer. And just thankful. Just thankful for what He's doing. If you go ahead and turn in your Bibles tonight, we'll be in 1 Timothy. Start there in 1 Timothy. We'll be in a couple places. It's been a good problem to have, but it has just been really unusual getting used to the rain recently. You know, I'm thankful for it. It's a good problem to have, but just going outside and everything being wet and thanking the Lord for that. And I hear we got more coming, but boy, from what the weather forecast says, if it were to rain on Friday, I think we'd be having a lot of snow. I think I saw low being 24 or something like that. So hopefully we'll stay clear of that. But I actually am looking forward to some cold, cold weather. And I like it every once in a while, you know. And as long as I don't have to go up and live in Minnesota, I'll be just fine. And that's where old Joanna's family are. I always think of them as the Eskimos up there with their little fur hoods on, you know. That's why I always envision them. And they've already had snow. They got several inches of snow on the ground now. And I saw that, you know, I got the little weather station on my iPhone that I like looking at different cities where I know people live. And they live in St. Charles, Minnesota. And I saw them now because I was thinking, man, Friday is going to be cold here. The highs are going to be in the 40s and it's going to be in the low 20s. And then I saw the high for St. Charles, Minnesota Friday, the high was 2 degrees. I said, I'll take 45 any day. 45 any day and 25 a low, that's just fine. But 2 degrees in the low was going to be -8. And so that's just that's some cold weather right there. And it just makes you cold thinking about it, doesn't it? But anyway, I think they're doing okay last time I talked to them. And the igloo is holding up and everything. So we're very thankful for that. But praise the Lord. That's just good to see your smiling faces tonight. I want you to know that. And thankful for our Wednesday night crowd and our Wednesday night faithful just being here for the midweek service. And I hope tonight's message will be an encouragement to you. I just have been thinking about what the Lord had me bring, and this is where He's directed me. We're still going to be around the subject of prayer tonight, but be a little different from what we talked about last Wednesday when we did talk about the spiritual restoration through prayer, which is going to be similar, but it's going to be more dealing with lost people and praying for them. And let me just go ahead and read the portion of Scripture, and then we'll have prayer and get right into the study. Let's go ahead and start with verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now get this, verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. I'm going to read verse 4 again for emphasis. Who, that's God, will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Folks, it is something that you, I believe, are already aware of, and I believe most of you are convinced of this, but it is most definitely God's will and desire that all men be saved. We don't have to come to our prayer time with the Lord when we're praying for the lost. We don't have to wonder if we are praying for someone for whom Christ died. We don't have to wonder about that.
because we know Christ died for them. We also don't have to wonder whether or not God wants them to be saved, or whether it be the perfect will of God for that individual to come to Christ, because it is. It is God's will that all men might come to know the truth of His Word and eventually come to know the gospel, not only by with intellect, but by knowledge of and experience. That is God's will for all men. And let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, you know this message is something I so desperately need right now in my life. And Lord, I'm praying that you would just simply use me as a vessel tonight. I pray you'd use me as a voice. Lord God, I pray you'd speak to my heart. Help me, Lord, to understand my responsibility and praying for the lost. And God, I pray that you would help me to understand and help our church to understand the impact and the difference we can make as we allow this truth to grasp us. Lord, we commit this service to you and our Bible study and our prayer time to come. We commit it all to you, Father God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, we see here that it's very clear that God wants all men to be saved. It is His will. And it's interesting how He begins this passage in the context of praying. And that makes a big difference in the will of God in praying for the lost. Now, here we are upon the Christmas season. One of my favorite times of the year, especially since I became a Christian back in 2002. It's been extra special to me. But even before then, I enjoyed it, but especially now. But, you know, you get together with family that you haven't seen in a long time, and just sweet times of fellowship. Most people are joyful. You do have a Scrooge every once in a while that you have to put up with. Hopefully, I don't believe we have any in this church. But you know, most people are a little bit more joyful this season. It's just a pleasant time of year. But one of the things that this time of year avails us is when in those family get-togethers, there's opportunities to be a witness. Opportunities to actually see people that we haven't seen in a really long time. Folks that maybe we only see once a year. Folks maybe we only see once every few months. Sometimes, and it's been the case with me, folks I haven't seen in years. 5 years, even 10 years that we haven't seen. But those people that I'm referring to especially are people that have yet to come to receive the gift of Christmas, the gift of eternal life. And God gives us a great opportunity in this time of year to see them and to be that testimony, many of which, if you have the same thing that's going on in my family, many that you have talked to before about the gospel. And they have rejected it, and they don't want anything to do with it. So now you're just at a stage where you try to be careful in your witness, not to push them away, but you look for opportunities. You've given them gospel tracts, and you've talked to them about your testimony and different things of that nature. But nevertheless, they're there. They're all around us. They're in our workplace. They're at Christmas parties. They're at all these events. And something that's for sure is that we need to be praying for them. You're going to be seeing folks here in just a few days that are lost at your family get-togethers. Perhaps, if not lost, some that are wayward. And we need to understand tonight that we may not be able to impact them like we thought we could with our interaction with them, with our conversation with them. Sometimes you know how you feel like you're talking, and you feel like you're talking to a wall. But I want to tell you something. They can run from people, but they cannot run from prayer. We, as God's people, can come before the throne of grace and make an internal impact by simply interceding for these individuals with the Lord God. The power of our prayers in the conversion of the lost. Something that is so important for us to understand, and sometimes we so easily forget. The power of prayer for the lost. The title of tonight's study is this: Praying That Foresees Conversion or Change, you could say, if we're talking about somebody that's just wayward. They've simply walked away from the Lord. They have a pretty clear testimony of salvation, but they have gone wayward. But praying that foresees change, that prays by faith, that, listen, God, I'm coming to you because I know it's your will for this person to be saved. And I know it's your will for your child to be in communion with you, Lord. And I'm coming to you. I foresee you doing a great work, God. And that's why we give it that title. And later here in a minute, I'm going to give you, to kind of play on words, I'm going to give you four C's to help you and to be an aid in praying for the lost or wayward people. I'll talk about that in a second, but I'll give you four C's that have been a tremendous help to me personally in praying for the lost. You know, men are blinded, are they not? Men are blinded. They're bound and bewildered by Satan's tactics. And that's not even considering and counting their own sinful heart of the rejection of light. They love darkness rather than light, lest their works be reproved, lest they be shown, lest they be made known. So we have a lot of negative things that we're working against when we're trying to deliver the gospel and trying to impact people with the gospel. But I want to tell you something, folks. Let us not forget the power of God's people praying for them. Praying down Spirit, Holy Spirit conviction upon their lives. Can I say this? As God's people, we must understand that our bold intercession for the lost will bring about breakthrough inroads for the Word of God to have free course. I'll say that again. As God's people, we must understand that our bold intercession for the lost will bring about breakthrough inroads for the Word of God to have free course. That's why Paul asked the Thessalonians to pray for him. He said, finally, brethren, pray. Why did he say pray? For us. Why? That the Word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. That the Word of God may have the same impact that it had on your life. The same way it was glorified in your heart when you were born again by the Spirit of the living God. When you got under Holy Ghost conviction and realized, I need to make a decision to trust Jesus Christ. Paul is saying, pray that the Word would have the same course that it had with you. Why would Paul ask these believers to pray that? Because he believed in the power of prayer. And folks, I know we got people that you talk to, it's very awkward. It's very fearful in many ways. It just makes a very uncomfortable scene with some of the folks that we talk to about the Lord. But can I tell you, you don't have to feel that way when you go to the throne of grace. You can go with great boldness, folks. You can cry out to God on their behalf. You can bring their name before the throne of grace, before the Lord God with tears. And you can pray down conviction upon those people that you love dearly and who God loves more. Listen, can I say this? If we are to make any inroads into enemy territory, it will be done and must be done and started upon our knees. It must be started on our knees. You know, I'm really excited about what God's going to be doing here in the coming months as we get out more and start talking to people about Christ and inviting them to our church. And we're going to be getting into Satan's territory, and that's a fact. But you know, I would rather us, and I'm saying this kindly, and I'm speaking this to Brinson Jennings as well. I would rather us just stay here at the church and do our thing and not go out and engage and to talk to people about Jesus Christ if we're not going to make bold intercession for our community. I don't even want to go. I don't even want to go myself if I am not willing to ask God to prepare their hearts and ask the Spirit of the living God to bring things into their life that would even prepare for our witness and to prepare their hearts for the good seed of the Word of God. We are in vain. We are spinning our wheels. We are just being a show if we're going to have a nice program and an orderly program and go out and to spread the gospel, but yet not really pray. Oh my, that is a scary place to be. And I surely don't want to be in that position. And I hope you don't either. I think about what Lewis Sperry Schaefer said. He said, the blinding or veiling of the mind that's mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 4, he says, causes a universal incapacity to comprehend the way of salvation. Now, we have to be careful here. I don't believe that they're totally unable, but I do believe that there is a strong blindness and deceitfulness that Satan puts over these people's eyes. And get what he says. And is imposed upon unregenerate man by the archenemy of God in his attempts to hinder the purpose of God in redemption. Get this. It is a condition of mind against which man can have no power. And what I mean by that is it can have no power unless the gospel goes forth in power. Through people that are filled with God's Spirit who have been praying and understand the great bondage that is upon mankind. Can I say what Manly Beasley said, an old Southern Baptist evangelist? He wrote an article entitled Praying for the Lost. And listen to this. This is his opening statement in Praying for the Lost. It is an area about which much is said, but little is known or understood. It is like trying to open a locked safe without knowing the combination. No matter how valuable are the contents, we eventually get frustrated and quit. And God help us, church, never, ever to give up in praying for our lost loved ones. Don't ever give up on that person that is seemingly rejecting the gospel every single time. Because I'm telling you, God is waiting to do a breakthrough. He is ready to make a difference as we will avail ourselves in prayer, seeking to ask God to have mercy upon them. I'd like to give you four C's that will aid you in praying for the lost. This is something that I've used, God gave me probably 10 years ago. It's not... You may have something better. I'm not saying this is what you have to use, but it has helped me, and maybe it'll be a help to you. But it's four C's that will aid you in praying for the lost and wayward brethren. One of the ways when you come to your prayer time and you're praying for lost people, I would say one of the things I do try to, first of all, is I pray that God would bring conviction. That's the first C word there, conviction. Because you know why? That is the personal ministry of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, I've said this before and I'll say it again. Don't you ever try to be the one doing the convicting. You will do more damage in the long run when you yourself seek to bring conviction. Don't do it. Ask God to give you wisdom to simply give His Word and the power of His Spirit, and you pray by faith, asking Spirit of the living God, who is totally capable of convicting, Lord Spirit of God, would you convict this person as I speak with them? That is the utmost importance, that you pray that God, the Holy Spirit, would convict. That's what He came to do, to reprove the world of what? Sin, righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, the sin in their own hearts, and judgment. Judgment that is to come, unless they turn. I give them truth. I give it in love. But boy, I'm telling you, you let God's Spirit do the convicting. And He'll warn. He knows how to speak to people. And You know, I think of things that speak to us and warn us, give us signs to do certain things. And one thing that really is very consistent, I would say, and just very stubborn, and that is the sound of my wife's van telling me to fasten my seatbelt. Any of y'all have those stubborn seatbelt reminders? I knew one guy, he was so stubborn, he said, "I'm going to beat this thing." He buckled, that rascal buckled his seatbelt and sat on top of it. He was determined. But there are certain cars, and some aren't so bad, but there are certain cars that the light is going and the sound, it just starts off, first of all, ding, ding, ding. And after about 20 seconds, ding, 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 ding. Then after about 30 seconds, ding, 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 ding. By that time, give me that seatbelt. I'm gonna drop that thing. Shut up. I'll fasten the seatbelt. It's speaking. It's warning. And you know, there are times where we can pray. God's conviction, the Holy Spirit, upon people's hearts and lives where they realize they simply need to turn to God. They get so frustrated with the conviction upon their lives and the things that are taking place, and they get under conviction so much that they know they need to do what is right. And the Holy Spirit has a wonderful, magnificent way in doing that that we cannot. He convicts, and I pray for conviction upon them. Moving right along, the second C would be this. Circumstances. I pray that God would bring special circumstances into their life. I'm looking forward to sharing a testimony with you at the end that God just used in my life to help me so much to show this to me, these points. But we see that I pray for circumstances. You can turn there if you'd like over in Acts chapter 16. We see a circumstance. We see a circumstance where a man was about to take his own life. In verse 26, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison," here's the lost man, "awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But thank God there was somebody that cried out, and it was Paul. And he said with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.'" Now, before I continue reading, folks, you understand that was a circumstance that God brought about. And that man's life, who was a jailer, who was there keeping guard, and they, Paul and them, prayed in the power of God, and the place shook, the earthquake came, and the circumstance that was in front of that man was going to bring him to end his own life. God brought that circumstance. Can I tell you something, folks? God can do the same thing in your loved ones. The ones you've been praying for years. The wayward folks that you know, your brethren that are just turning their hearts away from God. Listen, God knows how to bring an earthquake into their life. And He knows how to shake them up. But don't you try. Don't you dare try to shake them up. You maintain your composure, your spirit-filled condition, and your love and your compassion, standing on truth. And you let me tell you where to place where you get real serious, where they can't stop you, and God invites it, God's pleased with it. Listen, let me tell you something, church. Don't you hesitate to get in the throne room and cry out to God with great fervency. Don't be ashamed of that. Cry out on the behalf of their name. There will be no complaining from heaven, church. There will be no stop calling my name from heaven. There'll be none of that from heaven. There will only be open ears from the Creator God, just loving your prayers and delighting in your prayers and seeking to bring about the circumstance in the other direction and the person that you're praying for. God delights in doing that. That Philippian jailer had a circumstance come his way, and there was a Christian there in the right place, and that'll bring up my next point. But I want to tell you something. God knows how to bring those circumstances about. And I do pray that. I pray specifically, Lord, would you bring conviction? I say, Lord, please bring something into this person's life. I call them by name. And I say, Lord, would you bring a circumstance? Something that would humble them. Now listen, I don't always pray that that would be from a negative impact. There is a verse in the Word of God that says, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So it is possible that you could also pray that God would bring circumstances into that person's life that they would just be so overwhelmed by the goodness of God that they would repent. Circumstances. Pray that God would bring special circumstances for that individual. God hears your prayer, church. Your prayers are not in vain. Do not, I warn you, do not focus on the response of the person. You focus on the responsibility to go to the throne on their behalf. That is what we focus upon. But then thirdly, the third C is I pray for a conviction, Holy Ghost conviction upon that person. And then secondly, I do pray for circumstances. And then thirdly, that goes along with point number two, I pray that God would send forth Christians their way. Christians. Folks, this is so important. I'm giving a testimony at the end of the service. It is amazing because, listen, let's all be honest here. There are some people that we've talked to so much, and because of maybe certain things in life that just comes up, whether it be an offense or whether it be you've talked to them so much, they just got turned away, or whatever the case may be. There are some people that are come to a point where they're not going to listen to me. And they're not going to listen to you. But pray God send somebody else. I pray that. I pray, God, would you send a Spirit-filled believer. I don't care whether they're a Baptist, Presbyterian, Bible, whatever. Lord, would you just send a Christian, a Bible believer, filled with the Spirit of God, a person who knows Christ and who will come to them graciously. Because there is a such thing as there are Christians out there who I'm embarrassed about the way they witness. And I pray against those kind. I say, Lord, would you send God-fearing, Spirit-filled believers that person's direction? Whether it be in the workplace, whether it be just totally random. You'll hear this in a minute. But whatever the case may be, God, send some people their way. It might just even be a TV show that comes up on their screen. I prayed that. It might be something on their radio that they weren't even expecting. Perhaps they were flipping through the station. Da-da-da, you know, you come to the different songs and you don't get to the song you like. And boom, they hit something just for a split second. Jesus loves you. God can take something like that, church. Pray that God's people will get to them. And then, you know what's even the neat thing about that is most of the time the Holy Spirit will bring you to their mind. When someone else witnesses, I've had that question asked. I've talked to people, and of course somebody's been praying for them, and somebody's witnessed to them, invited them to church, and they ask, I've heard this statement. I can't tell you many times. Have you been talking to my mama? Did my mama call you? And I say no. But God's calling you. God's got your phone number. He's got your address. God knows where they're at. And listen, a lot of times we can get overwhelmed when we think we have to be the main ones. God may not use you to be the main one. He may not use me to be the main one. He may just let me have a little part. But oh, may we get a hold of heaven and say, Almighty God, would you please send some Christians that love you and that love these people and would share the gospel with grace. I'm telling you, God will delight in that prayer. He will send them to them. I promise you, not because I say it, because God says it. Listen, How many, go through the scriptures and see how many times God talks about, if it be according to His will, it shall be done unto you. Do you think it's God's will for people to get the gospel? Absolutely. Go with that boldness. God, I know it is your will for this person to be touched by another believer that I'm not even connected with, that I have nothing to do with, maybe a Christian from the other side of the world, but oh God, would you send your messenger, would you send your servant to this person that I love dearly and I don't want going to hell. God, please send somebody to speak to them. And He will. Oh, He will. And then the fourth C is simply this. God, I pray that God would bring conviction upon these people that I'm praying for and that I love, that God loves more. I pray that circumstances, and then I pray for Christians, servants of the Lord, and then fourthly, I pray for their cover. That's the fourth C, their cover. And I say that representing their protection. That God would surround them by His power and His love and protect them from the enemy, from Satan, who is seeking to destroy their lives. You know, Jesus prayed for Peter. In Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 32, the Bible says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I love verse 32. But I have prayed for thee." Jesus, the God of heaven, knew the importance of praying for people that Satan was trying to destroy. Jesus said, "I prayed for you, Simon. I prayed for you that Satan may not have his way." He said, "I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And I don't believe this was in the context of salvation, but I believe it most definitely can be applied. I believe that you can talk about a wayward brethren like Peter. Peter was wayward. Hey, listen. Parents, perhaps you have children that are wayward. They have no heart for God. Hey, pray the prayer of Jesus Christ. Pray that Satan would not be able to sift them, but pray that God would help them with their faith and seeing that God is real and God is holy and God loves them and wants the very best for them. Oh, that they might be converted. And then after they be changed by the power of God, oh, that the Lord would allow them then to strengthen the brethren. Oh, how precious that truth is. When somebody, a child of God, gets right with the Lord, the impact that it can make on so many. Cover. Pray for their protection. Don't pray for their judgment. That's coming. I pray for mercy. Because Satan will try to come in and kill and destroy as quickly as he can. He will take them while they're down. John 10:10 says this, "The thief cometh not, but for what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy." Hey, young people, can I say this? I know you've heard this before, and I'll say it to all the church. Listen, always remember, write it down in your hearts and your minds, what is Satan's will for my life? You can write that out. What is Satan's will for my life? And then you write what Jesus said. It is to kill me. It is to steal away my life. It is to kill me and it is to destroy me. That's what Satan's will is for your life, for my life, and for your life. That's his will. But we can pray against that. We can pray, Lord God, would you have mercy? Would you protect this individual? Lord, they're wayward. Lord, as Lord Jesus prayed on the cross with compassion, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Some are doing it in ignorance. Some are doing it on purpose. But whatever the case may be, pray, Lord, please protect them. Help them to come to their senses as the prodigal son did in the mud. I just wonder if that father wasn't praying for that son. I just wonder how powerful that may have been in that testimony of how much he was interceding for his son. And we know he was so happy that he came back. But that's the point. I'm praying, God, would you bring them to their senses? Cover them. Oh God, protect them. Set a hedge around them that they may come back to thee. Listen, your prayer can be the one that turns the tide. Don't stop praying, church. God's working. You guarantee that. Don't be like that old first-year farmer. He had him a garden. He got that seed in. He didn't know much about gardening. Boy, he'd go out there every day. Look at that. Man, where's it at? He had planted that seed. He wasn't seeing any fruit from it. He wasn't seeing it grow. And boy, he'd come out there and get frustrated and frustrated and frustrated. But he didn't realize that thing was already growing. It was taking root, and it was on its way up. It was just a matter of time for it was going to be some breakthrough. Hey, listen, church. Know that there's a breakthrough coming. Because God is on the throne, and He is greater than that, hey, that strong man in the house. I wish I had time to go into that, but I'm not. But you see, brethren, think of these four C's, and you may have something better than this, and if you do, that's great. But if you don't, if you have found yourself where you've really just drifted away with interceding and with boldness and with fervency for lost people, for wayward people, hey, let's get back. Let's ask God to renew that spirit within us, knowing that it makes a difference. I close with this illustration. My cousin, and I know she wouldn't mind me telling you this illustration, my cousin Sonny, she's about 3 years older than me. I think she's probably around 30, 38 right now, but she and I grew up together, and of course, I was lost until I was 21, and she and I lived a lot alike, party lifestyle, okay, with the world, and something I'm very embarrassed about and ashamed about, and I'm thankful it's under the blood. But when I got saved, man, I started witnessing to her right off, and that was 2002, so she was probably about 24. But I would give, every Christmas, I'd give a Christmas gospel track. And she was one of those girls that was just, she's extremely friendly. And she has the perfect name. Sunny, Sunny. She's so sweet. And she would always take the tracks and say, thank you, Brinson. But she was somewhat of a hippie, if you will. She loved going around with these bands and following the rock concerts and just into the drug culture, and she was most definitely into that, and she would not be ashamed for me to say that. She's glad she's been freed from that. But I had been witnessing to her for 10 years, sharing tracts, praying her. I had her name on my lost people's prayer list, and thank God now I got it scratched through, and I'll tell you about that. But I had that on the list, but I just wasn't seeing fruit, and I was getting frustrated and thinking, Lord, are we ever going to see a breakthrough in Sonny's life and other people I'm praying for? Well, one day I get this email, and it's actually a message on Facebook. This is 2012, and I was in Niger, and I was in my house, and I knew as soon as I got this email, I said, Lord, you're answering prayer. But I want to tell you something, Brother Mark. God had already been answering prayer. I just looked at it as I had, listen, I made a mistake by waiting on to see fruit to decide whether or not God was answering prayer. Child of God, that's a mistake. God's answering prayer. If you're praying by faith with a pure heart, you better believe God the Holy Spirit is moving in a miraculous way that you don't even see. But she said this. She says, I was hoping something that would help me understand the Bible more. Blew me away. This came out of nowhere. I'm thinking, Sonny, have you lost your mind? No, wait a minute. You're doing the right thing. She says, I don't really know what I'm looking for. Now listen to this. I just know that I want to try and understand. She says, I'm feeling different lately. I probably am not making a whole lot of sense to you right now, but I am confused myself. And take it now. This is a girl that I have been sharing the gospel with and talking to and praying those four C's over. And then the next message said, like I said, I am very confused. She says, that may sound ridiculous to you, knowing the options. I just feel kind of strange, actually. It's like all of a sudden, now y'all gotta get this. This floored me. It sends chills up my arms right now. Honestly, she says, it is like all of a sudden I have this need to know Jesus. Folks, that is God's Spirit convincing her, calling out to her. She says, all of a sudden, I had this need to know Jesus. She said, honestly, I have never thought those words would come out of my mouth as bad as that sounds. She says, I'm just curious. I want to learn about the history. I am more of a scientific person, really and truthfully, have been very skeptical. I am writing things to you now that are very hard for me to admit. I don't like not being a believer. I want to believe. I want to, really. I understand that things like this don't happen overnight, and especially with me, because I feel like it's going to take some convincing. That's her word. And I thought to myself, oh, I'm glad the Holy Spirit's on her. He'll do a great job. She says, this is really hard for me to say to you. I hope that I am not offending you. Oh, no, honey, you're not offending me. I'm having shouting fits in Agadez. As I said, just recently I have been experiencing different thoughts and emotions towards God. I feel like, listen to this language, I feel like something or someone is trying to help me or tell me something. She says, gosh, that is so weird, LOL. Anyway, I would appreciate if you prayed for me, please. She says, I heard that it helps. She says, I love you. She says, I hope you do not think I'm a bad person for saying these things. She's talking about being skeptical. And I just feel like I have to, or I just feel like I have to be honest about it all to even move forward. Fast forward 1 year, 2013, a year of this, God working. I get a message in Agadez on Easter morning on my Facebook saying this. I just wanted to say happy Easter to you, Joanna, and that precious baby girl, Marianne. Also wanted to let you know that today I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah! She says, I couldn't be more excited. And then she said, I, with capital letters, believe. She had gone to an Easter service and fell under the conviction of the Holy Ghost, and God saved her. Hallelujah. Folks, listen, God is wanting to do that more than we can imagine. He's wanting to do that in our neighbors. He's wanting to do that in the lives of our family members. God wants to more than we do. Don't forget that. Oh, listen, Sonny, she told me later, I said, God, did God begin really to start dealing with you? And she told me one thing that really just got her. She had been searching in her mind, like, what is this thing about God? And I've been praying the four C's, and I've been praying about the Christians, and I got to close with this, and then we're going to close and pray, I promise. I've been praying, Lord, please send some people her way. Because she was very scientific. She was more on the intellectual side. She really listened to all the liberal scientists and thought, Lord, listen, those are the most, Darwin and all these others, you know, they're very intelligent, and that's who she respected. And so she had a high esteem for educated people like doctors and whatnot. Well, get this, folks. I got to tell you this. She was still going through this stage under conviction, and she said that she went to the doctor. She had a sickness. I don't know what it was. But that day, the normal doctor that she had was not there. It was really weird to her. It was a little uncomfortable, but it was another lady doctor. And she went in, and I think I remember what it was. Sonny had been under a lot of stress. She had a lot of things with work and just her life. And she was going about just what she could do. And this doctor was very gentle with her and talking with her. And this doctor, out of the blue, and just, you know, getting questions and whatnot. And then at the close of the examination or just talking, Sonny said it really floored her. It's like God just jumped out and just smacked her. The doctor said these words. Said, "Sonny, I normally do not do this." This is a doctor. She says, "I keep my personal beliefs to myself and don't really bring them into the workplace. But," she says, "I have found one of the best things that helps me with my stress is to read my Bible." She was speechless. Here is an educated woman, a PhD. She's a medical doctor. And she talked about how in her years in a medical school and going through that, she used to say for her test and these hard exams, she would find that she would relieve her stress by going and reading her Bible because she believed the God of heaven. And she said that was the turning point. That was the turning point that, wow, here's this doctor who I've been saying only dumb people believe in God. But here was an intelligent woman realizing that, look, anybody can believe. It's for all people. And God turned her, and I believe, I'm not bragging, I promise you I'm not. I'm just really bragging on the Lord. I believe that was an answer to my prayer on one of those seas and God sending a Christian her way. Totally unexpectedly. She spoke. I didn't even have to be there. I didn't have to convince her. God used another servant. Another instrument to help Sonny come to know Jesus Christ. Folks, it's the Christmas season. Your people you've been praying for years, don't stop. Be ready to witness to them. Keep praying for them. And folks, as we go into the new year, let's commit to the Lord that we're going to pray for our lost community and our wayward neighbors, our wayward brethren like never before. And watch God work. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you, Father God, for being so faithful. Thank you, Lord, that you want people to be saved more than we do. It is your will, Lord. You love them, all of them. All of them. Lord, there is not a sinner on this earth that is beyond your love. Oh God, please have mercy. Please use our church to pray. God, use our people. Lord, I pray tonight that you would work in our hearts and that there will be commitments made tonight that will make an eternal difference in somebody's soul. Oh God, I pray that for thy glory and ask that for thy glory. For it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.